what kind of a king was Dhulkarnain? We can see from the way he addresses the people that he was a just king. When he says, "Amma man zalama fasawfa nu'adhibuhu." And as for those who do wrong and are unjust, they make corruption or do evils, we will punish him sternly. ثم يرد إلى ربه فيعذبه عذابا نكرا. Then he will return to his Lord. Then he will punish him with a stern punishment, saying he will be punished in this world by him and in the hereafter by Allah. So in this life and Akhirah, both of the worlds will be lost from them. So he warned the people not to do wrong and injustices. Whoever does injustices would be dealt strictly. By Dhulkarnain mentioning the hereafter, it shows that he had faith in the hereafter. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ. And as for whoever believes, meaning stops doing shirk or associating partners with Allah, and believes in Allah, and then after that, عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and does good deeds, and stays upon the straight way. From this, we can see that he himself was a believer. This is why he is saying this to the people. Then for them, فَلَهُ جَزَاءَنِ الْحُسْنَى. We will give them a good recompense or reward. We shouldn't just worry about the good once you get in this life, but the actual reward and the consequences in the hereafter. So here he talks about reward in the hereafter. And whoever does good deeds, we will give him good reward. And وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا. And we will, by our command, make ease for him. So what does it mean that whoever believes and does good deeds, we will have a good reward, which is جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى. It means Jannah. And then from him, he says, مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا. He means that he will command with matters of ease. In the first matter, when punishment was mentioned, he mentions that he will punish the wrongdoers. Then they will get the punishment of the hereafter. But when doing good was mentioned, he mentions the reward of the hereafter first, and then how he will make his commands easy for them, and how he will deal with them as citizens. This was the standard of Dhulkarnain. These days, the standard in this life favors the rich people. They get special protocol, separate VIP lounges, have special arrangements made for them. Also in hospitals and wherever they go, just because they are rich and elite. But in Dhulkarnain's kingdom, the favored big people would not be the ones with wealth or ones with high position, but those with faith and good deeds. They would have positions in his government. If we look at what Dhulkarnain says once more, he says, whoever does zulm, first we will punish him in this life. What do we see from this is that he crushes oppression and injustice and discourages this type of behavior in people, then reminds the people they will be punished in the hereafter with such a punishment that is unheard of, no one ever heard of, for whoever does evil. This is justice. Justice is not that everyone is let go, whether a criminal or a corrupt person, or just because someone is rich or has a position or power. No, whoever it was, if they were wrongdoers and doers of injustice, they would be punished by him and would get punished in the hereafter by Allah as well. And he tells the people, whoever believes in Allah, here he encourages people to believe and do good and righteous deeds. So he encourages people doing good in his society. They will be also rewarded with Jannah in the hereafter. But even in this life, he says he will deal with them with ease and will make means for them. How would he do that? By giving them the VIP protocol, as those who are rich and elite get. Today, we do not consider believing and doing good deeds as a quality to be shown honor and regard for. We see when a ruler, a person of position or power, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the authority and power, and they can decide how to treat the people, then this should be their conduct and treatment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the quality of Dhulkarnain. For someone who was a wrongdoer, he discourages their wrongful behavior, and someone who does good deeds, he encourages them. Those who are believers, we see how well they were being treated. Just as citizens of a country have many benefits, while the immigrants are not eligible for many of the benefits allotted to the citizens. For Dhulkarnain, greatness and ranking was for those who believed in Allah and did righteous deeds. And those who were wrongdoers and did evils, for them was a severe punishment. So if a society was based on these standards, who wouldn't want to do good deeds? People would come to the way of goodness themselves and would not have to be called when they receive so many benefits and care as believers, who would get so many concessions from their government, then everyone would want to be among those who do good. And when corrupt people and criminals are punished in a society, it eradicates the evils and wrongful actions in the society. Whereas if the oppressors and the unjust are left to roam free, then injustice only increases, as in some Muslim countries today, because the oppressors and the wrongdoers are not punished by law. So in the kingdom of Dhulkarnain, this was the law. He was a just king, and whichever land he went and conquered, he would announce this as a rule to the people of that land. For the believers and doers of good, their best reward was in the hereafter. And this is what a believer aspires and works hard for. So they are told first that they will get the husna from Allah, and he would do whatever he and his authority could do for them as their reward in this world. Thumma taba'a sababa, then he followed away. Here sababa means using means. He used all his means and tools, all that was mentioned before. He didn't say, I am religious and I don't need to use any means. As we see many people having means, but just because they consider themselves religious, they say we will not use our phones or even computers. Just as when loudspeakers were invented, some scholars said that loudspeakers were haram and prohibited its use. And similarly, when the Quran began to be translated, there was a lot of noise. Then how could Quran be translated? What we should learn is that when Allah gives means to someone, there is no harm in using it, because all means are from Allah. We can benefit from the means and use them to serve Deen in the best way. So whatever means and resources people are given should utilize them. They can use it to strive for the hereafter. For example, if a person has a car, but they do not use it, and they say that I will walk to the masjid and not use a car, no matter how much difficulty they face. No. If means are there, they are there so we can use them in pleasing Allah. Many people, out of religiosity, they do not use the means they are given. Because of this thinking, they do not utilize the tools they are given and the means and get deprived of doing great good deeds. Although the life of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions was simple, but it was not that they didn't use any means. They didn't just prefer to walk upon journeys without use of horses or camels. We don't find anything of this sort in their life, where horses and camels were not used as means. We do not need to adopt an artificial religious life. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ and his companions used the horses and the camels. We do not need to adopt an artificial religious life. If Allah has given us means, there is no harm in using them. This is not piety, that we do not use phones or computers or technology. We can record lectures and talks, which we can forward to a big population by using the means. So why shouldn't we use them? Sabab here refers to all type of means available to him, including the knowledge that he used. So we see him returning from one expedition, then going on another, one right after it. He didn't say that I just came from one journey and that is enough. Rather, he goes to another right after his return from his previous expedition. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ until he reached to the place of the rising of the sun, indicating towards the east, the far east. Wajadaha found it, shows that how far he traveled, and with so many conquests. Tatlu'u ala qawmin, rising upon a people or a nation. When he reached a certain place in the far east, where the sun rose from, lam naj'al lahum min duniha sitra, he found a people who did not make for them, ha, referring to the sun, from the sun any shelter. He traveled so far from civilization that he came upon a people who did not have homes with roofs that would cover them from the sun. Another meaning stated by the Mufassirin explained that there was no tree, nor mound, nor any structure under its shade they could seek shelter from the sun, and they were directly exposed to the sun. A third explanation found in tafsirs is that there were no clothes upon their bodies. They being an uncivilized nation and far from the rest of the civilization, they did not know about covering their bodies, so they were not covered from the sun. So all the three things come as explanation. It is possible he ended up with a very primitive people. It is also said that they were savage tribes and they were far from other nations and civilizations. Many strange explanations are found in tafsirs, such as they would go in the water during the day and come out during the night. But Allah knows best. Likewise, Dhulqarnain conquered them as well and told them the same thing as he told the other conquered people. Whoever does wrong will be punished, and whoever believed and did good would receive a good reward from their Lord and a good treatment from him. His justice was the same for everyone. وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, and in fact, we had encompassed him with whatever that was with him. And khubra means whatever he spoke, whatever actions he took, whatever knowledge he had, whatever means that were with him, and all authority and material possessions that he had. Allah had encompassed it all, meaning that Allah knew everything about him. As the disbelievers asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he know about Dhulqarnain? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we had information or news of each and every matter about him. If we think about this, and how history does not have record of Dhulqarnain, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he had encompassed his every matter. When Allah says encompass for something, does it mean some knowledge or complete knowledge? No, rather being surrounded and encompassed as being encircled completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had and has complete knowledge about him from his inside and out. As people think, what became of certain people in history who were never recorded in historic books? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he knows about his every action, his every movement, whether if it is an ordinary person or it is a king, whether he is recorded in history or one without any recognition or even mention. Allah knows about each and every person. Allah knows how many people were in his army and the life of each person. Allah has record of each and every person and knows about them. This is something beyond our imagination and thinking. We cannot imagine what was the name of each person in his army and what was their life like. Living in the present, we only consider what Allah is seeing at this time. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows each and every person that came from thousands and thousands of years ago and has surrounded and encompassed them with his divine knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you idolaters ask about Dhulqarnain, they should know that Allah has surrounded him and knows of everything about him. These are the news from 2,500 years ago. If we look at the time 500 years before Isa alayhi salam, then 2,500 years have passed. And if we take him to be from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam than that was more than 5,000 years ago. Here we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about a person from so long ago in the Quran and tells us that Allah has encompassed all information about him. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. Then he followed a means, went on his third expedition. Where was his first expedition to? To the far west. Then he went to the far east. Now to another place, where it is mentioned in the next few ayahs. Now again he adopts his means. This shows how determined he was, constantly moving. As after the Prophet ﷺ, the companions were also upon this. They would constantly move around. Some left for gaining victories. Some went to seek knowledge. They all spread out. They did not stay in one place. They constantly worked hard, struggled, and used the means that they were given. The means that we are given can be used for evils or can be used to do good. If we do not use the means at all and call it haram and ban our family from using them, rather, we can use them to do good things. We should note that the means, such as TV, computers, or a phone, are not good or evil by themselves. But good and bad comes from how we use them. If we think that if we abandon the use of all means, we will become pious, no, we shouldn't do that. It all depends on how we utilize them. We should be grateful to Allah that now we have such means that has made learning and spreading deen easy. Long ago, it was very difficult. Today, it has become very easy. In one instant, our voice can reach to such far and distant places, even while sitting thousands of miles away. While aforetime, people would have to travel long distances to gain knowledge. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. Until he reached between the two mountains. There are many explanations regarding where these mountains were. We do not need to get into which mountains they were or what its location was. Wherever these mountains were, there were two mountains paralleling each other, and their place was between them. وَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمَا قَوْمًا. ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ. Found from besides them a people. لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. They were not able to understand what they said. They did not have any translators, as they were primitive people without any means of communication and could not understand the language of Dhulqarnain. La yakaduna indicates it was very near that they could not be understood. Very close to impossible to understand their language. It means other means were employed to understand them, possibly sign language. It shows how they were cut off from the rest of the world, that they did not understand and know of other languages. They said, O Zulqarnain, قَالُوا يَا ذَلْقَرْنَيْنِ إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Indeed, the Ya'juj and Ma'juj make mischief and spread corruption in the earth, meaning their land. Ya'juj and Ma'juj is the name of two tribes, not two people. These are human tribes. We will look at the details about who they were after covering these ayahs, inshallah. They were once to spread great corruption upon lands. They would come and kill people and eat up their animals and destroy their crops. So they say, فَهَلْ نَجْعَلُ لَكَ خَرْجًا عَلَىٰ أَن تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدًّا. Ask Zulqarnain, can you make a barrier between us and them? They asked Zulqarnain for building a barrier when they saw his material means and intelligence and that he was a powerful king. They complained about these two tribes and asked Zulqarnain, if you build a barrier between us and them upon the path they come upon, then we will pay you a tax or a payment. Zulqarnain says, قَالَ مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ. Whatever power, ability my Lord has given me is better for me than what you can give me. What Allah has bestowed me is better, and I do not need anything from you. We see his justice because when he heard how they were being oppressed and given trouble by those two tribes, he agreed to help them without taking any payment or compensation. While today we do not see any leader who doesn't even tax his own people for providing services and protection to their people. We learn that he was not a greedy king, and he was not after wealth of others. He himself had abundance, means, might, and had many other blessings of Allah. All the might, material resources, and worldly gains did not corrupt him. As we see, rich only increase in their greed. They want more and more in their wealth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah At-Takathur, Al-Hakum At-Takathur, Hatta Zurtumul Makabir. Man will end up in his grave, but the greed does not end. He was not greedy, and he said, no, I do not want any payment. Here we see a pious leader as compared to an ordinary leader. He was not a king with greed, but he said, فَآيِنُونِ بِقُوَّةٍ, help me with strength, meaning manpower. He said for them to help him and work along with him, not saying that you sit and rest and we will do the work for you. Here we learn great leadership skills in Dhulqarnain. They were a primitive people who did not even know how to speak or communicate in another language, and they did not know construction themselves. So Dhulqarnain was to train them under his supervision, so he helped them help themselves. As giving sadaqah or zakah to a nation only makes a handicapped nation. As the saying goes, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. Teach them so they can learn and take care of themselves. So it was the skill of Dhulqarnain to get them involved in the building and the construction. Sometimes people do not like to involve others and want to do everything themselves. But Dhulqarnain uses their help. Dhulqarnain says, أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا, I shall make between you and between them a fortified bank or a barrier. The people of the tribe had asked for a sadda, a barrier. Here Dhulqarnain says, I will make a radma, a fortified barrier. They asked for a simple barrier, but Dhulqarnain said he will build a fortified wall that has layers upon layers, a very strong wall. He says, I will make for you a radma, a very strong barrier. Insha'Allah, we will complete the story in our next lesson. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the tilawa.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فأتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مغرب الشمس وجدها تغرب في عين حمئة ووجد عندها قوما قلنا يا ذا القرنين إما أن تعذب وإما قال أما من ظلم فسوف نعذبه ثم يرد إلى ربه فيعذبه عذابا نكرا وأما من آمن وعمل صالحا فله جزاء الحسنى وسنقول له من أمرنا يسرا ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مطلع الشمس الشمس وجدها تطلع على قوم لم نجعل لهم من دونها سترا كذلك وقد أحطنا بما لديه خبرا ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ بين السدين وجد من دونهما قوما لا يكادون يفقهون قولا قالوا يا ذا القرنين إن يأجوج ومأجوج مفسدون في الأرض فهل نجعل لك خرجا على أن تجعل بيننا وبينهم سدا قال ما مكنني فيه ربي خير فأعينوني بقوة أجعل بينكم وبينهم ردما